This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
This afternoon, the racing community will be eagerly watching on as the Melbourne Cup kicks off. And while it's always a very glamorous event, have you ever wondered what happens to the elite horses once their career that they've been bred and trained for is over? Horseman Scott Brodie, he's worked with thoroughbreds for over 30 years as a mounted police officer with Racing New South Wales, and now he heads up the Thoroughbred Aftercare and Rehabilitation Centre on site in Mount Hunter. They don't only help horses adapt to life after racing, but use those horses to help veterans recover from PTSD. I asked Scott earlier how that relationship helps in recovery and also what happens to most racehorses now when they retire.
Most of the horses, when they finish racing, they go into lots of different things, actually. 50% of them probably head off for breeding purposes. The mares and the stallions head off for breeding purposes. A lot of horses are retrained for equestrian activities and pleasure riding. And then some horses that have been badly injured or mentally messed up are not much suitable for anything else.
When they've been bred and trained for something like racing, that's a huge undertaking. So I imagine, kind of like people, when they stop doing that, it's actually a lot to process the adjustment back into sort of everyday horsing life. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's similar to people that suffer from PTSD, I really think. They've been trained up. It's similar to what ex-service guys is the way I look at it. Trained up specifically for a purpose. They go through their whole lives, carrying out that purpose. And at the end of the day, most of the things they've learnt in relation to that purpose are irrelevant to what they need to be for equestrian horses. So they have to be re-educated in the general equestrian ideas that work for horses that people want to ride and enjoy.
It makes what you do really special because you've found a way to rehabilitate the horses, the thoroughbred horses, but you also use them to then care for veterans who have PTSD and they also need a reintroduction into life after service. Tell us about the program that you run. How does it work?
Yeah, so we take veterans and go away for a few days and we teach them horsemanship skills and we utilise ex-race horses for that. And obviously the parallels that you've just mentioned are pretty straightforward. These guys and horses have been trained up for a specific purpose, and at the end of their careers, the things that they've been trained for are useless, if not detrimental to life in normal life. So there's some serious parallels and some serious empathy from the soldiers in relation to the horses that have these issues. But the guys with post-traumatic stress, a lot of those guys need something. They need something in their lives that take them away from the drama of their day-to-day existence. And horses seem to give them a passion. When you're working with horses, there's a focus. You have to be in the moment. And you can't lie to them. You have to really be able to get control of your emotions if you want to work with horses.
What is it about that relationship between a horse and a person that is so unique and special? Because you've worked with horses for a number of years, and I think there's got to be something unique about it that makes that exchange work.
Yeah, look, it is. People have asked me this question before, and it's really hard to put an exact answer into it. They are an incredible animal. They evoke huge amounts of emotions in people. We've had such an engagement with horses over thousands and thousands of years. So there's a real history for humans with horses and a respect, I think, most of the time. Yeah. And when you start to work with them carefully, the communication that you can have with them is so finite that most people that don't work with them on a day-to-day basis don't understand it. But the communication you can have with them is finite, almost extrasensory perception kind of stuff. That might sound ridiculous because I'm a pretty practical kind of guy. But but the communication you can have with them is super, super. And, the soldiers start to get a bit of that as they go along. Horses utilise body language in a big way. It's something that we have the ability to utilise, but we don't utilise it consciously as much as we once probably did before we had language. And so it really gets us in touch with who we are as animals, really.
And it brings you back down to the basics of human relationship or relationship between an animal like a horse and a human as well, and the simple things in life, which once you've been a veteran and you've served and you're coming out of that space, sometimes I imagine you could really lose sight of that. And in the work that you do, you see so many veterans find this healing. Tell us about some of the people that you've worked with and how you have actually seen change take place in their lives.
Oh, yeah, look, I've seen some amazing things. When I started this, I'm just a horseman, you know. I just wanted to do horse stuff with people. But it was very obvious from the first time we did this that people were getting amazing results. People, in the very first course that we did, we had a guy in particular that hadn't been out of his house in 3 years and hadn't communicated with anybody. And by the end of the course, you know, after doing some communication with the horses, was communicating and taking part in everything that we did and sitting around the campfire, having a chat with the guys, and he's gone on to pretty much get back into a normal life. I've had so many of them say they've been able to reduce or even get off medication in relation to their mental health. A lot of them have gone on to work with horses, and a large number of them have gone on to work with horses or maybe volunteer for RDA and riding for disabled, things like that. One guy in particular who had some very, very serious anger issues, you know, when I first met him, and very, very quickly recognised that horses don't like angry people. And he's had to learn very much to control his anger and his emotions to be able to work out that you know, issues that he often had with people came from vibrations that he was giving off in relation to his demeanour. Mm. He didn't recognise he was doing it, but now working with horses on the days when he's not in the right space, he understands and he has to regulate himself, and he's learned to do that in his day-to-day life, which is a fantastic thing.
It is just fantastic, and it's a real new lease on life that you've helped all of these veterans find. What have you learned about how we can care for veterans who do retire from service with some level of trauma? Because there'd be a lot of families listening who have people in their own circles that this may be their very experience.
I think, you know, most people have in their recent family history have had someone that have had some exposure to warfare, you know, for Second World War, First World War, Vietnam. And everybody that goes away comes back different. It may be minorly or it may be major, you know, maybe a major thing, but they all come back different when they've come back from theatres of war. And, you know, I think that what we need to keep in mind is that it isn't always the straight down the line therapies that work for everybody. Sometimes we need to look at alternate therapies and, you know, helping people be people rather than... I'm a big believer in post-traumatic improvement rather than post-traumatic stress, you know, trying to make the best out of the situation rather than just treat the bad parts of the situation moving forward. So, you know, giving people those alternative therapies and focuses, that's a great thing for people that when they're coming back from those theatres of war and they need it, you know, they climb a mountain, they walk across Australia, they go to the Antarctic, they swim, they all need something to do, and if we can find something that they can do on a day-to-day basis that keeps them more together in their day-to-day lives, well, that's fantastic.
You're certainly giving them something that grounds them, and today being the Melbourne Cup, the day of the Melbourne Cup, how do you feel now about the race? Has your experience really changed the way you look at the racing industry?
I've got to say, racing has never been my thing. I'm a horse guy. You know, I've worked with thoroughbreds for 30 years. I really enjoy the process of rehabilitating horses and having them, you know, re-educated for new purposes. And I enjoy the challenge. I enjoy working with horses, and I enjoy the job satisfaction at the end of the day when you've achieved those goals. But you know, racing is not my thing, and you know, I guess to each their own.
Hey, well, thank you, Scott, for the work that you're doing and for having a chat with us about it today. Really appreciate your time.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.